choir, of musicians, a moment of worship. Thank bootleg Reverend Shelley for the teaching of God's word. And I just pray that you've been blessed. How does everybody feel?
Amen.
I was going to say, if you didn't quite feel too good, you're in the right place. It's like being sick and in the hospital. You're where you need to be to get well. So we just give all praise and glory and honor to him. Going to ask now you get your Bibles once again into your hands. And we're going to pick up where we left off on last Sunday. You may open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And we have been dealing with verses 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10. First, let us read our prayer of preparation together. Dear Lord, I come before thee as an empty vessel. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my mind that I might understand. Open my heart that I may receive your word. I pray that each time we read that we understand that despite the fact that it's in unison, that's a prayer. And Satan doesn't want you to hear, nor does he want you to receive. And when that type thing happens, you gotta be mindful that you're talking to God and you're asking God to remove all hindrances. And sometimes hindrances are deeper than just a problem. Sometimes it can be a mindset, or sometimes it can just be people or moving or doing whatever. But that is critical that we understand. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, the text simply reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We have been using as a thought God's process for salvation. God's process for salvation. I want you to keep in mind now that we laid some foundation information that the Apostle Paul was focusing on, and that was in chapter 1. He talked to us about our possessions in Christ. And now when we arrive at where our text is, which is Ephesians chapter 2, he talks to us mainly now about our position in Christ. What I do not want you to do is to lose sight of the fact that I want you to focus on your position. Because when your position is right, possessions will fall in place. Are we together? When your position is right. Based on that passage of scripture, I shared with you that we were going to look at three major points, each one found in one passage of scripture. We've already dealt with verse 8. And in verse 8, we talked about the process for salvation. The process for salvation. On today, we want to move to point number 2, which is literally found in verse 9 of the text. Verse 9, We've already completed verse 8, but I do not want you to lose sight of what we talked about. It's a carryover concept, okay? Because if you don't understand the process, you're going to get confused on what he says to us in verse 9. Are we with me? Everybody together? It's the process in verse 8 that he wants us to understand. On today, looking now once again at verse 9 of the text, we want to deal with the excluding factor. The excluding factor. And I want you to hear what Paul says. Paul says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay? Now, just to say that statement, we're lost, but we shouldn't be lost, because that's why I'm saying to us, carry over now from verse 8 to what he now shares with us in verse 9. Don't lose sight that he's laid out the process. You are not saved by your works. Okay? You are saved because of what Christ has done for us. Now, looking at that statement in verse 9, the first thing that we want to lift is his will is my task. That's the focus I want to look at. His will is my task. Listen to what Paul says. Not of works. So what in the world is Paul talking about? Go back now. Drag what you learned in verse 8 to understand the statement. Paul, once again, when he makes this statement, is literally emphasizing that salvation is not earned by doing any good works. In other words, you can work 40 hours a week in the church and still go to hell. Okay? Because the emphasis that Paul is trying to get us to understand, throw out of your mind, you can work for your salvation. So the question then would be, why would Paul say such a thing? And what does he mean when he says works? Now you're going to find out, works pops up quite a bit in his statement in these passages of scripture. So looking at verse 9, the type of work here is the work that Paul wants us to understand is by necessity. This is works by necessity. Those works that will give a person the right to brag or boast. Are you with me? And we got to be so careful in this area, because number one, just boasting alone isn't wise. Paul makes this idea very clear when it comes to the concept of salvation in other writings other than in our text. Let me take you to Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Listen to what he says. If by grace, then it is no longer of works. That ought to clear the air right there. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. See, if you work and bragging about your salvation and you thinking that you got it because you've worked, you've wiped out grace. Okay? But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So we don't have a problem understanding that it's plain and simple. Listen to this. Man's devised plan of religion is totally about works. This is what we are so confused that we think that we got to put in a punch a clock. I'm not knocking commitment. I'm not knocking being dedicated. What I am knocking is that you got to be careful that you don't think God is sitting in heaven writing down notes and saying, oh, they did this, they did this. No, no, no. See, I'm going to explain later why you do what you do. But let it not be because you are chasing after what? You don't chase salvation. You are saved by grace. And that's what messes up a whole lot of folk. Because what they want to do is be able to go before God and say, I'm not quite as bad as so-and-so. I need you to understand sin is sin. Are you with me? And I think that's, we put people who commit murders and robberies and we put them in a different category. And we'll say, well, I only smoked Marlboros. I only took a sip. Hello? I need you to understand. I'm not saying that there's something so much wrong with that. But I'm trying to get you to understand, stop comparing yourself to what other folk do. Because when you put all of us together, it's by grace. Simply by grace. That there's a story told about a man trying to rush to a little country town for a revival meeting. And when he gets into the city, he discovers that the people were taking down the tent where the revival was being held. He was devastated, bent out of shape, worried, upset. And he ends up saying to the people taking down the tent, it couldn't be over. I mean, it just couldn't be over. And they said, yes, it's too late. He said, what do you mean it's too late? What can I do to bring about this change? What can I actually line up? What work could I do? I got to hear this word. They said, stop right there. I need you to know the work has already been accomplished. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You see how we make things complicated? Hello, y'all. It's not about that. In fact, it's really about you accepting the grace that God has already made available. But it's hard for us to believe we are who we are by grace. Because we like the idea, deal with me. Listen to this. What do you mean? How can I be too late? How is that possible? But man puts a criteria to salvation. Before we witness, we tell people what they got to stop doing. Boy, y'all, we'll say, you got to put the liquor bottle down. You got to stop homemonging. You got to stop smoking. And I'm going to ask you a dumb question. What could they do that you are saying that if that was the case, they could have done before they got there? They don't have the power to stop something. And that says that what it is, we can't receive people as they are in the body of Christ. We can't witness. What we want to do is witness to people who we think are intelligent. Boy, y'all so quiet up in here. The second thing that I want you to take note of is that human effort has nothing to do with salvation. Do I need to say that again? Because it really rubs me the wrong way when Christians turn up their nose about at other people as if you never done that. You never been there. See, the point is, even if you looked upon somebody that wasn't yours, and don't sit up in here with your buck eyes like he don't know nothing. All of us have either lusted. Boy, y'all mighty quiet. We've all done something that wasn't pleasing in God's sight. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So nobody, I don't care who you are, is all that. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, we wouldn't be here. Yeah. Listen to Paul again in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. For years, in the church, people come down the aisle, and one of the first things that we do, tell us where you want to work, where you want to serve, and we get to arguing over where that person ought to be in the choir. No, this one ought to work in the kitchen, in the helps, in that area. Can't cook. Am I making sense to everybody? Can't sing. Boy, y'all done got quiet up in here. Can I tell you the major problem? That ain't the time. That person needs to grow. Get to really know what their calling is. So when they filter over in there, your mess who been there for 30 years won't run them out the door. Boy, y'all done got quiet. All right. Our works are the result, not a cause. Got me? See, I ought to do what I'm supposed to do because I have done what I'm supposed to do. And this is how people get caught up and you don't see them anymore. Because it's not about their relationship with Christ. It's about finding a spot to say, I just can't work with them. They look at me funny. Yeah. Or they were talking about me.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing, go back to the text. All persons are saved by grace. Let me prove it. Listen to what Paul says. Least anyone. Do y'all see that in your Bibles? Least anyone. This word of caution, that's what that is. That is a word of caution, and it's very much needed today. Nobody up in here got a reason to think you are all that. And I'm talking about just by merely dressing like you're holy. There are going to be a whole lot of well-dressed folk in hell that looked holy. Boy, y'all mighty quiet. Much harm can be done by having the wrong viewpoint. This is why church is empty. It's because we separate ourselves amongst each other. Instead of embracing each other, we separate. I don't hang with that person because, you know, they do this and that. Well, it ain't like you don't know what they do. You did it. See, all of us. But what we want to do is make them, because if you have more than one child, you will realize all children don't grow up the same way. They grow up differently. Here's something I want you to think about. You can take a basket of good apples, take one apple, put it in the basket with all the other good apples. I want you to observe something, that whatever is real good about that other apple you put in there is never going to be shared with the other apples.
Right.
It's just an awesome apple in the basket with other good apples. But the moment, good God from Zion, you take a bad apple or apple on its way to be and put it in there, can I tell you what's going to happen? The bad of that apple is going to mess with all the other apples in the basket. That's what happens in the body of Christ. One bad apple. I just don't think she's saved. Cause, huh? I just don't think, child, the way she was holding that cigarette in her head. Wait a minute, hold it. You didn't stop doing me, you, nobody, everything all at once. Even if you were speaking in tongues. And if you're sitting up here lying, you did it behind closed doors. But what you would do, you were wise enough that when you came out, you wanted everybody to think you were all holy.
Yeah.
Boy, I can tell when we are hurting. Us is quiet.
Yeah.
I want you to listen to this statement. One self-glorying Christian can contaminate the whole church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've seen it happen. We are uproot and go somewhere. Boy, oh boy. Join another church and got everything negative to say about where you left. But you ain't going to tell them you were rotten in the process. See, you were already rotten before you left. In fact, maggots were all in your spirit. Oh boy, y'all. I better stop. I better stop. Paul says, least anyone, that includes everybody, least anyone. What is this about, Paul? Well, pride is a sin. Let me say that again. Pride is a sin, a gift of Satan and not of God. Are y'all hearing me? And that's going to get us in trouble. We ain't learned our lesson yet with COVID. No. We're so busy talking about the disease, we need to also recognize, well, what's happening? What's going on with us as a church? And I say it all the time. If you can go to Walmart, Food City, all the restaurants, I'm confused on what's so bad about coming to church. So I'm telling y'all in here, don't stop me in no Walmart. Talking about pastor, let me tell you. No, don't tell. Because the same issue of COVID that surrounds you surrounds me.
Yeah, that's right.
And you going to spend 15 minutes standing up there telling me why you couldn't show up, but you spent 2 hours in Walmart. And ain't got but two items in your buggy. I'm trying to teach us. You need to understand something. The wisest thing to do is just shut up. Because it makes no sense. I'll be out your hair. Next point. Paul says, glory in God's gift. Listen to what he says now. Glory where? In God's gift. What does he say? Look at what the text says. Least anyone what? Should boast. Because salvation is not of works, and no one can merit salvation. Are you listening to? Since we cannot merit salvation, Paul is saying to us, there's no room for boasting. I have pastored churches where folk look down on certain people because they weren't dressed the way they thought they ought to have been dressed. That's them uppity, sophisticated. I'm not against dress, but I'm against when you think what you're wearing gives you the right to look down on somebody else. And if that's the case, baby, take it off. Put some jeans on so we can all be on the same plane. But if you think your hat, your gloves, and your matching shoes, your suit and tie makes you holy, you're in the wrong place. And I mean, I've been in churches where if you ain't dressed properly, we turn around and look at you funny. Boy, y'all, ooh, boy. Y'all act like you ain't never been there. I've experienced that. Listen to what I want us to understand. All boasting, got to get it. All boasting is eliminated in salvation. I don't care if you got all curls in your hair. I don't care if your necklace and your earrings match and they cost you whatever amount you had on your credit card. I don't care. When it all boils down, we are all saved the same way. And what I can't understand is how we have the audacity to allow differences to show up. We're over in the hood. There are some folk can't come over here and worship because we're in the hood. And if truth be told, most black folk grew up in the hood. We won't cross no railroad track. We won't the other side of the railroad track. Boy, y'all. We done got bigoted. Listen to Paul. Listen to Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Listen to what Paul says. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and to the world. Boy, y'all better get this. You got to get this. Paul made this statement in the backdrop of Judaizers. That were Jews who were bragging and boasting in the flesh. They were bragging and boasting over the fact that they had won some Gentiles over through circumcision. And we all know, if you study Paul's writings regarding circumcision, it was an outward act. But there should have been an inward change. Are you with me? So the Apostle Paul is saying to us, in essence, in the book of Galatians, if you're going to have something to say, you need to switch your language. Hello? Yeah. Don't just open your mouth and say anything. Look at what Paul said. But God forbid. Listen to the urgency of the statement. God forbid. Paul wouldn't do what the Judaizers were doing. Paul said, I glory in the cross, in Christ. That's why I can't understand how you got to pump folk up in worship. I don't understand that. When you wake up in the morning, it ought to be a moment of worship. When you put your feet on the floor, God, I want to thank you. I may have the same problem I had the day before, but I want you to know, God, I'm blessed just to be here. I thank you for health and strength. I may be hurting, but thank you, sir. Am I making sense to anybody? That's what Paul wants us to understand. Look at what he says. Paul's saying, in essence, I may not say what you said. Why? Because I know in who I am in Christ. And that's why we mess up. You don't have to brag and boast. Just tell him thank you. But you got nothing to boast about. Even if you think you got it going on. Death comes to you like it comes to everybody else. Now if broke folk died early, we're all in trouble. But Paul is teaching us, you ain't got nothing to boast about. And then we got to come in here and wait on the choir to get us pumped. Wait on somebody to say, stand up, give God praise, clap. Yeah. You ain't at a football game. In fact, when you think about it, we do more jumping and screaming and hollering in events you paid to get in. Boy, y'all quiet. But you didn't pay to come in here, but he paid it all. Okay. Listen to Paul. Paul is teaching us that the cross changes lives. See, if you don't do nothing else, think about the cross. Not your problem, the cross. Because if he had not died, if he had not gotten up out of the grave, you wouldn't have the opportunity to even sit on the pew. Listen to this. The cross was a divine assignment, not a human accident. It was a God-given obligation, not human option. See, I think sometimes the reason we are the way we are, we think we got choices. You know, I just don't praise him like that. Ain't nobody ask you how you praised him. But I am going to ask him, do you praise him?
Yeah.
See, that's do you praise him? Uh-huh. See, some folk don't praise because they're so scared that if they got up and gave God some glory, somebody got something to say. Negro gonna talk irregardless. So I'm gonna give you something to talk about. Then finally. So Paul, I'm gonna end this. Take me to verse 10. I want y'all to understand, Paul closes on God's amazing work. Since you don't work to get salvation, how you get it? Listen to what Paul, I'm gonna read that verse. Ain't but two little things in there I want you to get. He says, for we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Two important things I want you to see in verse 10. The first one is God's role in salvation. That's the first thing. Paul closes his argument and presents God's role in salvation. Then secondly, he closes the verse regarding man's responsibility toward God's role. You got me? God's role. Then secondly, our responsibility to God in that role. Listen to what he says. For we are his workmanship. So the first thing we need to clear the air on is God's role in salvation. Got me? Listen to what Paul says. For we are his workmanship. That word workmanship comes from a Greek word which gives us our English word poem. Are you with me? It gives us our English word what? Poem. If that be the case, that Greek word has meanings. First of all, it means a work. It means that which has been made. It means to compose. It means to make. So the bottom line is, in essence, when Paul says we are God's workmanship, he is declaring that we are God's poem. Poem, like a person who sits down and writes a poem. Okay? Now, Paul helps us. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, this is what puzzles folk when it comes to salvation. We can't figure out how God can reach past our logic and save a homemonger. We have a problem with that. We can't figure how a man who kills five people can get saved. Why? Because that person didn't line up with our standards. Only reason we ain't in jail, we didn't get caught. Does everybody understand? That's the attitude you got to take. Well, I didn't pull no trigger. No, you lied on your income tax. Come on now. All of us have messed up somewhere down the line. Oh, I'm going to be out y'all's hair. So since we are God's poem, there are three things I want you to write down right quick. The first one is originality. Originality. A poem is a piece of work that is born out of that which is original. No two poems are exactly alike. I'm going somewhere with it. I just need y'all to understand it. How are they different? They are different in their rhythm, in their rhyme. They are different simply because that's what poems do. They are born differently. Two people can have the same thought and end up with two separate poems. So there is an original. Got me? Second word I need you to write down is identity. Identity. Even though all poems are original and unique, each person that is a writer has a mark on it that identifies it with them. I don't need to say nothing else. Because you don't owe trying to prove to nobody you a poem by God. A poem never jumps out of a book and says, John Doe wrote me. When you read that poem, it is identified with the person who wrote it. So if you got a problem with me, you better check out the one that wrote my life. Are you listening to me? You are a work from God. We spend too much time worrying about what other folk think when you ain't putting a line in my poem. God is. Oh, I'm going to be out your head, be out your head. Third thing I need you to understand, purpose. You got originality, you got identity, now you got purpose. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. Nobody sits down and write just for the sake of writing. They write because they had a purpose in mind. This is why I have a problem when holier-than-thou folk look down on kids born out of wedlock like they had a choice. And if truth be told, you don't even know if those that told you our mom and daddy are real. You don't know it. You just taking whatever they said and then turning your nose up. I don't see why the pastor got to dedicate that baby. That baby is born. That baby ain't asked to be here. But I do want to tell you this. That baby got a purpose. Because God can take a baby out of wedlock, pour his anointing on that child, and use that child for his glory. So you got three things. You got three things. You got three things. You got three things. Three things. Let me close. Listen to what he says. Man's responsibility to God, and it's plain and simple. It's right there in the text. It's right in the text. He says, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should work in them. This morning, when we pulled up in the spot, my wife got out the car, and she said, ooh, baby, folk across the street done made a difference, a change in that church. Look at how nice it looked. Look at the parking lot. I said, yeah. I said, I'm here all the time. I said, the women be working. I've seen the women out there with rocks in their dresses. Boy, y'all done got quiet. Hispanics. Men all on the roof. I've never heard nobody arguing and bickering over what they had to do. They worked. Why is it? In the body of Christ with us. Gotta beg us. Plead with us. Ask. And then we're gonna do what we're gonna do for 5 minutes and swear we tired. I don't understand it. Got a call the other day discussing with somebody. I'm looking at young folks sitting on the pew. Begged and asked. Pleaded. Can I get some help? That ain't my call. What is your calling? Because when you can sit and do nothing, obviously something wrong somewhere. And I've been warning you, your pastor has reached the point my patience has hit the door. Can I tell you why? Because we as a people like to sit on our behinds and do absolutely nothing but want to change in the body of Christ. Hiding the Sam Hale. Or change gonna come about if it don't come through us. Pack the church out for a musical. If I call somebody and get them to come here, despite COVID, we'll be standing room only. Because we show up to what we want. Boy, y'all mighty quiet. Now, if you're going to go tell somebody other than I said Sam Hell, go tell it. I'm finished. We are created for good works. And see, the issue is, If you're really saved, you work. We turn our nose up at Hispanics. But I'm sitting in my office and looking at 15 to 20 men. And brothers, they know how to organize. Everybody ain't on the roof. You had two little ones standing there holding the ladder. Then you had some rock and brick carriers. They were organized. See, we got a whole lot of mouth, but no giddy up and go. And you want to know why COVID is real? Because what we were doing wasn't for the honor of God. It was for us. We were getting the praise. We were getting the glory. Now, the real test of who we are is what we do under pressure. It's amazing. Whew. I try my darndest to understand us as a people, and I don't get it. Brother Shelley and I used to go into Silverdale, and I asked preachers, can you go? Man, I hear that door when it clicked, and I just, something happened. You ain't in there unless you've done something scared you're going to get caught.
Right.
Brought the people who allowed us to bring Bible. Children in elementary school teach the word. Every Tuesday, we were up there teaching the word. The question was asked, can you get some more? I said, yeah, I'll try. Brought the lady here. She addressed us. Not you all, the people that were present. Nobody moved. And we want to know why there's no change in the city? You got to get the word in young folk. And you got to do it in love. Why? Because you have not always been saved.
Right.
I've gone to church as a little boy with a heavy heart and couldn't tell nobody. Couldn't tell nobody. Couldn't walk up to an adult and say, my daddy raised hell all night long. And we didn't get no sleep because I was told, keep your mouth closed. But let me tell y'all something. Now that I ain't got nobody to tell me when I can and cannot say and when, I gotta tell somebody. There are some hurting kids. Some children. I mean, whew, this man can tell you that was situations that bring tears to your eyes sometimes. Simply because they're a little bit of children. And you say to yourself, five of y'all got in one car and ain't but one car seat?
Yeah. Right.
We blessed.
Yeah.
We bring something to eat, and before you can put it on the table, it's gone.
Yeah.
And they're asking you for more.
Yeah.
And we got the audacity to sit at the table and say, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Boy. The point I'm trying to emphasize, if God allows us to go into a new year, let's get our attitudes changed. No, nobody should have to beg you to do anything. Just do it. Dude, you don't need to have no meeting to get it done. Just do it. Go down the street and help somebody who's in need. Somebody's house who burned. Go do something. Rather than just show up to church and leave feeling good.
Yeah.
Doors of church are open. God is so good.
Yeah.
I'm going to be